my neighbor in Texas, only is way far away from where I'm at in Texas. Sylvia is the director of the U.S.-Mexico Border Counties Health and Human Services Department, and she's a lifelong resident of that area. She brings a wealth of regional management experience in social programs and healthcare with expertise in social services, ethnography, health outreach, promotion, and education, just about everything. Social and health issues related to border populations, and so on. Working closely with community leaders, promotoras, and county, thank you very much. I've been practicing. County commissioners and utilizing data towards strategic planning and county colonia infrastructure development.
Thank you
very much.
So I'm last, but not least.
No, you're not last. I'm last.
You're last.
So I'm last.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me. What I'm presenting is something is more practical. I'm not going to refer back to the affiliates. So the Lisa Gacardi Stone is actually the expert on the affiliates. But I'm telling you, I'm going to show what we're doing in the border. And thanks to my participation on the program by the U.S.-Mexico Border Health Commission called Leaders Across Borders, we kind of have formalized relationships, binational relationships, that has allowed us to not just do this program, but many other activities. I do not have any disclosures either. What a team. I don't know how many of you are familiar with colonias. So colonias are communities, rural communities along the border that is within 150 miles from the U.S.-Mexico border. They often lack basic necessities, most of us take for granted. Now I'm going to put the colonias discussion, for many of you that don't know colonias, I'm going to add another dimension, that is social determinants of health. So as we look at colonias and from the health perspective, the social determinants of health, this colonia residents and people that live in the colonias experience inequities day in and day out. The basic necessities that they lack, and there's this social and economic conditions that impact the risk of illness. This is generational as well. The mostly unincorporated communities began to develop in the 1950s and continue to exist. Many times it's for poor land use regulations, and also shaped by economics and politics that impact the social determinants of health. And without safe, sanitary, and affordable housing, drinkable water, this colonial struggle, and we actually have third world conditions. So that is a prime example of how social hierarchy impacts conditions for colonial residents to work, to live, and be exposed to unhealthy living environment. This is very interesting from the creation of colonias. How many of you are familiar with Juarez? El Paso. One interesting challenge that we have in New Mexico is that the whole state of New Mexico is less than the population within Juarez, if you combine the population of Juarez and El Paso area. So the population density that we have literally pressing against the state of New Mexico in our county specifically, which is less than 210,000, is an incredible force. Colonias were created by unscrupulous land developers, believe it or not. Some were county managers, city council, attorneys that created this issue of land. And then, as you can see, the density, people are moving in and they're looking for land. And some of those in political positions can facilitate that, and therefore impacting those that are buying the property. The lack of subdivision regulations, and this is along the border, this is not just for New Mexico, was a factor in the creation of colonias until 1963, when the first established subdivision regulations in the unincorporated areas. So in New Mexico, there's 127 colonias. Within Doña Ana County, there's 37 colonias. But if you look at the Juarez area, they actually have 345 colonias. So this is a situation that is a challenge, not just for the county, but it's a challenge for the region. Now, another challenge within our community is the binational, if you look at the colonias that are binational, within the binational context, that impacts international relations in binational policies, such as NAFTA that I was previously, initially discussed. The NAFTA agreement, in a way, addressed the health equities or inequities in the Mexican side, but added to the health inequities in the U.S. side. So when you look at the Mexican, the northern border of Mexico, they have the highest educational attainment, lowest poverty, lowest unemployment. Whereas if you see, this is in the whole nation within Mexico, but when we look at the U.S. in the border, we have the highest poverty, the highest unemployment, and the lowest educational attainment. Now, given that we did have 37 colonias in Doña Ana County, we had one commissioner that had 25 of the 37. So our response was to address the challenge via policy action. So we did create a resolution addressing the issue of colonias, so how do we address them. And then we had... there were just so many colonias, so many, and the issues. So we just focused on four indicators. So we focused on roads, drainage, wastewater, and water. And we, given the challenge that we had, we also tried to partner with, to leverage the local funding, state funding, and the county funding. So we partnered, we identified specific partners such as NatBank and the BEC that was previously referred to. To address especially those that we had urgency and emergencies, public sewage or cesspools. We had some colonias that we actually had the raw sewage going through the neighborhood, and then the kids didn't know what they were. What it was, they just saw grass growing around those cesspools, so kids were playing around the cesspool. That created a public health emergency. So allowing, having, and documenting, that allowed us to tap into state funds, such as the New Mexico Environmental Department of New Mexico Environmental Department. So that department had emergency funds that allow us to respond quickly. We also had created another resolution, again policy. A lot of this, the roads were private roads, so we had to establish a mechanism where we could accept private roads and to be maintained by the county and paid by the county using public funds. So that was the resolution 05-022. And then we partner with many other partners, and the main ones were the Department of Finance Administration, New Mexico Finance Administration, legislators, and most of all, and I think more importantly, is the community to move forward this project. This was, I don't know if you can see it all, but in order for us to really address the colonias, and how do we develop a model to really address and leverage and identify funding and gear the funding where the most need was. We develop a shared measurement system. So this one, what we did, we created a ranking mechanism, A being the best and E being the worst, and we put a grading. So A is 1 to 2 points, and E is 3 to 5 points. It took a lot of effort from the county department heads to come together and rank them, and also working along with the community. So based on the ranking and working with the community, we ranked every colonia from the perspective of roadways, drainage, wastewater, and public water. By addressing the infrastructure, as many of you know, we're addressing the public health of those residents. So it was critical to do the grading, but also to have a grade so the community would know where their colonia fell, and then that really encouraged them and engaged them as advocates. Now, part of the engagement with the community was not just the community, but also working with the governor and the legislators. So we have a Colonias Day in Santa Fe. So the governor, Governor Richardson, now probably CNN and many other, Governor Richardson actually, on his last term, we approached him and said, this is where we are on the Colonias Initiative. This is the gains. This is what we've done. But yet we have a lot of other colonias that need to be improved. We made a case of some of the colonias. In some of the colonias, you see that they got worse. And the reason they got worse is that when we did the initial ranking, we were in a drought. And then we had a flood in 2005 and 2006. So we reevaluated the ranking system. So this was a very important document to present to the Governor Richardson. So based on this document, we presented this document in January. By February, we had passed a bill, a Senate bill, having appropriating $10 to $13 million severance tax that is ongoing to continue improving the colonias in New Mexico from the infrastructure perspective.
Bravo.
Now, for this, we also calculated what would the cost be for each grade. So we know it costs $1.1 million to move one colonia a grade level or step. At this point, we need $93+ million to move all the colonias up to the A step. So our new path for action, basically when we started with the colonias and the infrastructure, if you know former Governor Richardson, you know, he likes the media, so he said, okay, so we start removing them from being colonias, so they're no longer designated colonias. So quickly we came up with a different model and added that the colonias is just from the infrastructure to really work in obtaining viable, sustainable communities. We really needed to move into social and economic perspectives. And then have this integrated, because we're never going to get there. It's been generations. Some of these colonias have existed since the 1800s. So they're historical villages, so they're not going to go away in 10 or so years. So at this point, you can see what we have done with the infrastructure. It was more of a collective impact. You know, we identified, we had a common agenda, Colonias Initiative. We have a shared measurement system, the ranking. We have mutual reinforced activities. We have monthly coalitions, internal community staff, department head meeting, and annually meetings with the governor and other legislators. And we had communication that was through all those meetings, but we also had a Colonias coordinator that helped us facilitate and coordinate our efforts with the residents. And we had a backbone organization that was a county. And now, through the funding that exists at the state level, is a New Mexico Finance Administration. So this is where we are now. And another issue or discussion was social determinants of health. is a value system. A lot of times it really depends on who's doing the work, who are the experts, and what are the values of those experts looking at data to address inequities. I see that if we don't have individuals that reflect the communities doing the evaluation and being part of the process, the inequities will continue to exist. So when I look at social and economic indicators, those are indicators from the from a traditional value system. So I think at this point what we are recommending that we look at social indicators that reflect the education, health, immigration, transportation, and then we don't call it collective impact, that has to be collective input. And when we look at the economics, we have to look, especially in colonias, at broadband. We need access to the internet. We have an incredible digital divide. We need to really have small business development, housing ownership, and financial access. So that is what we're looking at, collective impact. And that's where we are at this point.